What is it to be a Christian? It is to know Christ. It is to follow Christ. It is to worship Christ. It is to serve Christ. It is to obey Christ. The sum and the substance of the Christian life is Christ. It's not church. It's not activity. It's not religion. It's not all of these other things. The Christian life is Christ.
Today on the Song Time broadcast, we'll continue our study in the Gospel of John. In this message from Dr. Stephen Lawson, we'll look at yet another of the I Am statements of Jesus and the implications of what Jesus means when he says, "I am the true vine." Stay tuned for that message, but first we're going to be joined by Kevin Emmert as we talk about two very important practices in our worship. We'll talk about baptism and communion. The many voices are coming together for that one message. I'm your host, Adam Miller. You're listening to Songtime Radio. This week, we're going to be talking about two very important subjects. They are elements of our Christian worship, and they are something that we often overlook. We might participate in them maybe once or maybe on a weekly or even monthly basis, but the truth is, they might not have the same effect on us if we're not considering the implications they have in our day-to-day living. Not just something we practice when we go to church, but something that should infiltrate our day-to-day lives. We're talking about baptism and communion, or the Lord's table. And our guest today is Kevin Emmert. He's written a book called The Water and the Blood: How the Sacraments Shape Christian Identity. It's a real privilege to have him with us today. Kevin, thank you for being a part of the many voices for that one message.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Why don't you get us started by telling us a little bit about the impetus for this book? I mean, obviously, communion and baptism have been a part of the church for a long time. It's since the time of Christ, it has been integrated into the very fiber of our faith. What is the issue that this book is addressing?
Yeah, that's a great question, because I think many people, when they hear sacraments or for some ordinances, they'll think, of course, of baptism and the Lord's Supper or communion, and immediately start to think about mode. You know, the best way to practice baptism or communion: should somebody be immersed fully? Is sprinkling okay? At what age is somebody allowed to be baptized? Infant versus, you know, simply believer baptism. And then with the Lord's Supper, how often? Wine versus grape juice, all sorts of other things. Is Christ present? If so, how is he present? So a lot of people focus on the mode. But in my book, I really want people to think about the meaning, and specifically, what do these rites that, like you said, are as old as the church herself, what do they have to teach us about us as our, you know, Christian identity, who we are as people in Christ? Identity is a pressing issue today in our modern world. People want to understand themselves. The world tells us that maybe we need to look inside of ourselves or look around us to find out who we are. And I want Christians to know that we have these rites that tell us, of course, about our Lord and what he's done for us, but they also have something profound to tell us about who we are as people in him. So that's really why I wanted to explore the topic of the sacraments, is thinking through identity, pressing issue of our time, and what they have to tell us as Christians, people who exist in Christ.
Yeah, I do agree with you that the identity gets lost in the mode, but the mode is such an important part of all of this, right? I mean, let's be honest. Yeah. Calvin, Luther, and Zwingli couldn't agree on these things, right? Otherwise, we would have had a united Protestant church. There are so many different denominations. They all have their own take on it. Do they have their own not only mode, but identity in thinking about these things?
Yeah, that's right. That's something that I wanted to navigate in the book, is realizing and, you know, paying special attention to the fact that there are many different understandings of the sacraments, baptism, communion, what they mean, what they signify to us. Are they operative in some sense? Is God doing something through these? And of course, there's disagreements over hundreds of years, even just within the, you know, Protestant circles on what these things are, how they function in the life of the believer, the church, what they mean for us. But there's also a significant amount of consistency in what Christians, specifically Protestants, have believed about these two rites, what they mean, what they symbolize, and so on. So even though there's a fair amount of disagreement on these issues, there's also a fair amount of agreement about what they are and what they do and what they signify and even seal.
I think that's actually really important, because what often gets lost when we're fighting over where we disagree is the thing that is there in the middle, the thing that actually overlaps and unites us together. And we tend, by just human nature, focus on modes and practices, and they become empty in that regard because we lose their significance as well as the lesson that they're holding.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. It's easy to focus on our differences and lose sight of what binds us all together. And these two rites, these practices, speak to our union, our commonalities as Christians, and ways that I think we often lose sight of. They're profound practices.
We've been talking with author Kevin Emmert about his book. It's called The Water and the Blood: How the Sacraments Shape Christian Identity. It is about communion and baptism, and not about the modes or the traditions, but actually dealing with the text itself to understand the meaning behind both of these practices. I think it's an interesting book and something that you might want to explore in greater detail. If you'd like to find out more information, please give us a call. It's 508-362-7070, or head over to our website at songtime.com. Well, today, as we continue our study in the Gospel of John, this week, we're looking at John chapter 15. This message from Dr. Stephen Lawson takes us to yet another one of the I Am statements of Jesus. This is the seventh of them, as Jesus claims, "I am the true vine." There's something special in this text, and there's also something a little bit obscure. This is one that we probably have the least connection to and understanding of, because the others, like Jesus is a good shepherd, that makes sense to us. We understand that sort of parallel, and Jesus is the light of the world. We understand light and darkness. Jesus is the bread of life. We understand our need for daily bread. So all of these seem to make sense. However, that this is the context of Jesus being the true vine that requires us to have a little closer examination and realize what it truly means to live out the Christian life dependent upon Jesus at our center. Here is Dr. Stephen Lawson with a closer look at John chapter 15.
Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you." A few years ago, one of the leading seminaries in America surveyed and polled the graduates who were preparing to leave this institution and to go out into a lifetime of ministry. They had spent some 4 years in the institution. They had studied not only every book in the Bible, but every verse of every book in the Bible in the course of their Master's of Theology degree. They had studied the original languages, Greek and Hebrew. They had studied systematic theology, biblical theology, historical theology and church history. They had studied pastoral ministry. They had studied apologetics. They had studied evangelism. They had taken classes in preaching. And they were asked this one simple question. If you could ask one question after 4 years of study at this institution, and if we could provide the answer for you, what would be that one question? The answer that came back again and again and again was simply this: how do I live the Christian life? It seems that no matter how much knowledge of the Bible that we have, and how much exposure that we have had to Christian ministry in the body of Christ, there still is within each one of us, "Lord, how do I put this all together? How do I bring all of this doctrine and theology and knowledge together in such a way that I can walk in a manner worthy of my calling. I think that you can relate to this. I can certainly relate to this. And whether you are a new Christian and you have just recently come to know the Lord, or whether you have been walking with the Lord for many years, every one of us here tonight needs even yet sharper focus regarding how do I put this into practice. That's one reason why I'm drawn to these verses in John chapter 15, because they paint a picture for us of the Christian life. It's been well said that a picture is worth a thousand words. We are visual learners so many times. And for us to see how the Christian life works in a picture is very helpful. And that is what we have here. We have an analogy. Really, it's called an allegory, which is an extended parable. And he uses the imagery that is drawn from what was very common in this day. Israel is an agrarian society. And so many of the men would make their living by working in a vineyard. And so as Jesus gives this instruction, it is very simple, yet it is very profound. And so I want us to really delve into this, and so for us to understand what Jesus is saying here about how to live the Christian life. And there are four key elements. There is the vine, there is the vine dresser, there is the branch, and there is fruit. And I think our Lord is making this very simple to us regarding how to live the Christian life. So let's begin with verse 1. And I want you to note first, Jesus is the vine. Notice how verse 1 begins. I am the true vine. And number 1, I want you to see the primacy, or what we could call the centrality of Christ in the Christian life. As Jesus paints this picture of how to live the Christian life, he begins with himself, and there is a reason for this. Because Jesus is the Christian life. What is it to be a Christian? It is to know Christ. It is to follow Christ. It is to worship Christ. It is to serve Christ. It is to obey Christ. The sum and the substance of the Christian life is Christ. It's not church. It's not activity. It's not religion. It's not all of these other things. The Christian life is Christ. And once we come to know Him, Jesus is always in the very center of the Christian life. So that's how this begins. I am the true vine. Jesus represents Himself at the very epicenter of our Christian life. And let me tell you this. When you are doing well in your spiritual life, when you are hitting on all fours, when you have passion in your soul to live the Christian life, when you are walking in obedience, when you are growing, when you are maturing, when you are bearing fruit, it is at those times in your spiritual life when experientially Jesus Christ is at the very hub of everything that is going on in your spiritual life. Everything in the Christian life revolves around Jesus Christ.
By claiming to be the true vine, Jesus is using this illustration to capture our vision and our imagination to explain to us a spiritual truth. He starts off with just the statement of fact that we belong to Him and we are grafted into the vine. We are the branches. He is the vine. The branches do not function without Him. We are rooted in Him. We are connected to Him. We are in union with Him. We do not exist on our own. And all of that is stated to lead up to the next point, an exhortation. He tells us that we ought to abide in Christ, that we ought to press into Him, that we ought to find our life and our being and our satisfaction in Him. And then ultimately he says, well, how do we do that? How do we put that into practice? And the answer is to follow his example, to learn from him, to become more like him, to be actually transformed into his image. And it's something we see throughout the New Testament, that we are called to be like Christ. I think that this is so important for all of us to consider, especially as our theme verse, and we see it here again repeated in John chapter 15, but this theme, to love others as Christ has loved us. Jesus is inviting us to practice what he has done for us. It's something that will be picked up by the later apostles, and Paul will write this, to live our lives as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord. What we are called to do is to present ourselves as belonging to the Lord, to surrender daily over to him so that he can shape us and transform us and ultimately bring forth fruit. And what is that fruit? It's the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, all of that. He is giving us the fruit that will bring us great satisfaction in our lives and helping us to walk in the Spirit and to navigate treacherous waters. Jesus will even say here in John chapter 15 that we have to be aware of the fact that if we choose to follow Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life, and to cling to him as our true vine, that others will turn on us just as they hated him. They will hate us as well, but we can rest assured that we are safe in the arms of Jesus as we abide in him. That's a great encouraging passage and, quite honestly, one of my favorites here in the Gospel of John. And I hope that it's encouraged you, and maybe you'll go back and read John 15 again with us and to just be refreshed by these truths of Jesus in the upper room. This, remember, is taking place hours between washing the disciples' feet, sharing the Last Supper with them, and then sharing all of this message before going to the garden and being betrayed by Judas and then off to his crucifixion on the cross. Hours, really, we're just counting down hours before Jesus is about to die, and he wants his disciples to know, I love you, and I want you to find your life hidden in me. Abide in me as I abide in God. Follow me as I follow God. And obey me as I obey God. Keep these commandments. Love others as I have loved you. If we've been able to encourage you, I hope that you will return the encouragement by writing to us at Songtime Radio, P.O. Box 100, Barnstable, Massachusetts, 02630. Or you can give us a call. It's 508-362-7070. You can also head over to our website at songtime.com, or you can look us up on social media. Don't forget to tune in again tomorrow. We'll dive in deeper to this claim that Jesus is the true vine, and ultimately how there is no other who can even stand in as a substitute for what Jesus is saying he will do for you and for me.
Jesus says, I am the true vine. And what this means is any other vine is a counterfeit vine.
On behalf of everyone here at Songtime, we want to thank you for listening. From Cape Cod, I'm Adam Miller with our theme verse, John 13, 34 and 35. A new commandment I give to you, Jesus said, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another.